This is the MMA Takes Podcast.
MMA Takes Podcast.
With your host, Brian Petrie.
Yes. Yes, sir. Brian Petrie is your host. That is me with the most. Hey, fucking starting off. Man, I got to tell you, boys, pretty rough 24, 36 hours for the fam. The old Petrie family, of course, right when I start recording, the dog's barking. So yesterday, so our power went out like 2 weeks ago. I think I explained that to you. It was a pain in the ass. Luckily, you know, my in-laws were in town. The girls went to the in-laws. I mean, the house gets hot, guys. I went to my parents, yada, yada. In-laws are back in Atlanta. They had a free house. Power went out yesterday. Cincinnati, huge storm. About an hour away in a place called Goshen, there was a tornado. Trees uprooted, everything. Obviously, power went out yesterday about 2:30. We're like, you know what? It's going to get hot in here. Let's just go out to the in-laws and get a gorgeous, beautiful house. We'll hang out there. And then when the power comes on, because I think they quoted me like 9 p.m., we'll head back. No big deal. Gets in the in-laws. We eat some dinner, watching TV, guys, grocery games, you know, just killing time. And we start getting a little tired or whatever. It's like 8 o'clock. They move from 9 to 11 now. I got two kids. They're tired. Fuck it. Well, let's just go lay down, right? In-laws have a big old king-size bed. We fell asleep. I woke up like every hour checking the outage thing, and they haven't even sent a crew to us yet. I'm like, motherfucker. So around 12 to 1, I had an alarm set for 4 a.m. because I got to work. Girls had doctor's appointments today. So we're going to go home at 4 a.m. 1 a.m., your boy woke up with a horrible headache. I kind of panicked, as I do sometimes. I'm human, you know. I look perfect, I know, but I am human. And I said, we just got to get home. So we 1 a.m. drove home. So a 30-minute drive. Got home. House wasn't too bad. Power not back on. It's 1 a.m. yet. Power still not back on. And we go to sleep, right? Girls go to sleep in the room. I sleep on the couch. She's trying to get some space, you know, so we're not on top of each other. Hot. And I'm in and out of sleep, not really sleeping, checking the phone. Phone's about to die at this point. Yada, yada, yada. Still got to be at work at 5. 4 a.m. rolls around. They're finally on the street fixing stuff. They fix something on our street. Then down at the subdivision, the entry to the subdivision, they fix it there. And we had power literally right as I got out. As I'm getting ready for work, putting on my uniform with a fucking iPhone flashlight. And the power comes on. And I was like, oh, my God. And I was like, I should just stay home, right? Just fucking, you had a rough night, Brian. Didn't, got to work. Day sucked, hot as shit, humid, whatever. But got through it. Little one, if you guys just saw me on Twitter, she fell 2 days ago. And she fell on her hand. She was playing on a chair or stool and fell on carpet and her hand kind of bent, right? Now, I've broken my hands, my fingers many of times. Like, it's kind of my expertise. She shows me, she has a nice little bruise here. I go, oh, yeah, that's just, it's okay. It's just swollen or whatever. She's still using it, still moving it. The next day, all her knuckles turned black. And I was like, huh, okay, I don't like that. But I'm still like, everything's okay. I don't want to scare her. Everything's okay. You know, we're going to put ice on it. We'll swell it down. You blah, blah, blah. The very next day after that, her other set of knuckles, these lower knuckles, start turning black. I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck? I'm internally freaking out. Luckily, she had a doctor's appointment today to go. She's going to school next week to get all the shit for school. And her little sister had her 18-month checkup. They x-rayed it, fractured bones in the lower part of her hand and her wrist. They're like, from the x-rays, you're going to have to go to a children's hospital. But, you know, we went. My wife took her like 3:30 in the afternoon. They're like, it could be surgery or a cast. And we're, you know, I don't want my little girl to have surgery. So luckily it was just a cast. She's tough as shit. Tougher than an old man. Wasn't complaining about it. Didn't really cry about it. Obviously she was babying a little bit, but she had some fucking broken hand bones in there. Of course she was. Tough, tough son of a little girl. I almost said son of a bitch, but I don't want to say that. Tough. Tough, man. And then the big news, besides all that, you know, thankfully everything's okay. We get the power back on. Obviously, you're seeing my beautiful fat face. Chris Curtis. Huh? Boys, Chris Curtis. This is what the Wednesday show is going to talk about. Stuff like this. Chris Curtis, literally after the Rodolfo Vera fight, probably had a really good meal Saturday night and Sunday, was back in the gym on Monday, kind of itching for a fight, wanted to fight in August. And then he's getting top 10, Jack Hermanson in London. Co-main event as of right now, they might move that out. I love the fight form. I love the matchup form. I'll save my breakdown. I've been thinking about it all day at work. I have a pretty good breakdown for this. Needless to say, I think Chris is going to win. I think he matches up really well with Hermanson. And Chris was at Pick'em Odds. Obviously, he opened at Pick'em Odds. So we'll see if that moves or whatnot. But yeah, your boy's excited. I was getting all these messages last night. I was trying to conserve the energy on my phone. And then I asked Chris via Instagram. I'm like, I'm getting all this stuff. But we headed to London, my guy. And he said, we headed to London. So it's all confirmed. And it's a smart fight. He should be ranked already. Brad Tavares is ranked 15. Nothing against Brad Tavares, but I think that should be Chris's spot. Now you're getting top 10. I think Jack Manson's 8 or 9 right now. Beat him, you're in the top 10. They can't deny you anymore, bro. And I think it's a great fucking matchup. But we're not here to talk about that. That's for this Wednesday. This Wednesday coming up, July 20th, Wednesday show, YouTube only. Go subscribe to the YouTube. It is going to be fun. It's going to be interactive. It's not going to be live yet. If you guys want me to do a live show, we can maybe do live some weeks, whatever, pre-recorded. But I'm obviously going to touch base with people on Twitter, yada, yada, yada. It's going to be a nice little chat them up, right? It's going to be a fun thing. But we got July 9th. We got this card. Now, full disclosure, I just explained my day. Really busy day. I was tired. I had no idea, and I'm embarrassed because I host an MMA podcast, that they added last minute. I did all the picks yesterday. Last minute, they added David Onama, who was supposed to be in this card a bunch of times. Who was he originally supposed to fight? Austin Lingo. And then they were like, he's not going to be on the card. We can't get him something. Garrett Armfield steps up, who I do not know. And this fight is not on my sheet, so I apologize. So I'm going to go ahead and pick that fight first so it doesn't mess up the flow of everything. Pick this fight first. It's going to be an easy one. I believe when I checked with the lines, David Onama, 600, minus 675, 700, 8-1 favorite. Garrett Armfield, I do not know much who this guy is. He has a loss to Ronnie Lawrence. Now, that's a guy who's a very good guy. Was that a decision loss? Yeah, decision loss Ryan Lawrence back in 2019. Looks like he's cramming in a lot of fights. He fought David Onama as an amateur. So there you go. Decision loss to David Onama. So he's got to be a Midwest kid, right? Florida, huh? Missouri State University. Okay, so he's probably from Missouri, fighting out of Florida. Who knows? But he's fighting David Onama rematch. Last win was in the AFC. He strikes over Stephen Graham, who is 10-6, Glory MMA Fitness. So that's where David fights out of. Rear naked choke, split decision over Mark Seiler or Sleitler, 6-4. This kid looks like a wrestler. Yeah, wrestler in Dutch kickboxing, fighting at Kansas. Not the best record, though. And he's lost to kind of nobody. This is just me literally capping based on records. Obviously, I'm going to go with Nama. There's nothing here that's jumping off the page to me here. He's 25 years old, 5'7", bantamweight. Jumping up and fighting a pretty big 145er here. Obviously, he doesn't have to cut the weight, so it's pretty good. But give me David Onama in that spot. Nothing groundbreaking here. Again, I just found out that fight happened. Okay? Dealing with broken arms. I'm dealing with power outages. I would at work today, where I deliver at, they got hit pretty hard, and there's just trees and branches down. I told you, boys, I just bought a chainsaw. And I saw the guy. And where I deliver at is a pretty bougie, rich area of Cincinnati. And I saw two guys, actually. One guy was using just a regular handsaw on a giant tree branch. That's going to take him all day, right? He was in his front yard. He's going to saw it up. I just want to be like, buddy, I can come over my chainsaw, get that done, lickety split, $100. I did not. Another guy was using a Sawzall, one of those Sawzalls, right? But I don't think he had the right blade on because it wasn't going anywhere, right? You got to get a pruning blade. See, I fucking know shit, man. And it just didn't seem like it was going anywhere. And I just wanted to say the same thing to him. Like, hey, I got a chainsaw. I did not, though. I withheld, even though, God, I want it to. I feel so manly with that chainsaw, cutting my trees down. I'm going to wear flannel all winter and just hack shit down. Phone going ballistic here. Beep, boom, 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 boom. Here we go. First fight of the night. Do not know why this is the first fight of the night. Ronnie Lawrence. He is a minus 135 favorite. He is fighting. This is going to be a good name. Sadi Yukup. I think that's how you say his first name. Kakramanov. I think I got it. Sadi Yukup, Kakramanov. Kakramanov, I feel like I can say. 9-2, plus 115. I think I just saw him on DraftKings at plus 125. Listen, I ain't going to sugarcoat it. You know, I ain't gonna sugarcoat anything, right? You know what I mean? But
hello? Okay, this is dog.
This is dog spot here, babe. I mean, Ronnie Lawrence is the man. Everyone's all over Ronnie Lawrence. Everyone's questioning why this line isn't moving. That's a good question. Why isn't it going up? It's moving a little bit. But the Manny Martinez fight, Manny Martinez is very, very good. But Ronnie Lawrence showed a little bit of vulnerability in that spot to me. I think Sadi Yukup Kakramanov, I think this dude is a little bit of a guy under the radar. Thought he looked pretty good in his Trevin Jones fight. Trevin Jones is a tough, durable, tough dude. He choked him out. Trevin Jones hits very hard. Five-star Trevin Jones, baby. And he's got a win over Asker, who I believe was signed to the UFC at one punch knockout loss. But here's where it's at. He has a decision loss to Umar Nurmagomedov in the PFL. I watched that fight. Obviously, it was competitive on an Umar scale because that dude's so good. He caught him early. That was back in 2018, but he hung with them. And Ronnie Lawrence is a chain wrestler. He wants to get you down. I don't really like his finishing ability. He does have submissions. I don't think he's going to submit Kakramov here. And I think Kakramov comes from a good camp, flying on the radar a little bit, 9-2. I see his teammates on Twitter. I just started following him on Twitter, Instagram. They're hyping this dude up. He's obviously well-trained, but Ronnie Lawrence is that guy. A lot of people look at Ronnie Lawrence like he's that guy, but I look at the Manny Martinez fight. Did he take that fight not seriously? Whatever the case may be, he looked mortal. He didn't look like this wrestling submission beast. He got clipped on the feet. He got hurt on the feet. Kakramanov has some power. I wish the number was bigger, so keep loading up on Ronnie Lawrence for all you people out there, because I just think Sadi Yukup is a fucking good fighter. I think he's good at this plus number. On a card that's very thin, I actually do like quite a few underdogs, but it is a thin card. You got to take your shot somewhere. So I'm taking my shot on Kakramanov here right off the fucking bat. And hopefully we hit home run, baby. All right, next up, Kennedy Njoku. Here we go. I have this name. Kennedy Njoku. Kennedy Njoku? That Kennedy versus Carl Roberson. I think it's Roberson, but I think it's Robertson. There's no T in there, so Carl Roberson. This fight, who the fuck knows, right? I mean, I have Carl at a plus 105. The lines are moving on this fight. You just don't know. Kennedy's a guy that gets clipped early, but he has heart. He battles back. Carl Roberson is a guy that likes to jump on you early. Doesn't have the best cardio. Fades late in fights, you know? So it's like, what are we going to do here? Carl's going to win the first round. Can Kennedy withstand another barrage? Carl's a former K1 kickboxer. He's decent on the ground. I just want some cardio for him, and I just want him to show up. I'm going to take him here, and hopefully he shows up. Kennedy's probably the better, safer play. You don't get a great number. Again, this you could probably find this line on a pick'em at some places. But yeah, I like Carl Roberson here. I just think he's more well-rounded. But Kennedy's got heart for days, man. He's tough. He's durable. And Robertson has proven that he is a guy that I'm going to jump on you early. Let's see if you can take my shit. But if you can't, then I'm going to fucking gas out. I think the guy, you know, if he gets his mind right, I think that's a mental thing. I think he can be really good, especially at 205, which is not really wide open, but it's kind of wide open. It's like heavyweight. These big boys, you know, there's not a ton of them. It's not like 155, right? These guys are, you know, you can make some noise with a couple wins. And I'm going to go Robertson here. All right. Did the Onama fight. Cody Brundage, plus 105 versus Tressan Gore, minus 125. Send them home, baby. Send them home. Little echo for my boys. I like Tressan Gore here. Cody Brundage is coming off a really nice performance his last time out. Finally got the monkey off his back, got a UFC win. This is a dude that fought in the contender series against William Knight, got finished early in his career. Didn't have many fights at that point, 6 fights or something like that. Gets sent to the LFA. The UFC brings him back, gives him Nick Maximov. Just got out grappled, gives him Dolce Lunga Labula, who's a big, powerful, bricked up dude. Almost got finished, but you know. Dolce gassed a little bit, and Cody took advantage, has a good guillotine, has a good grappling advantage, but Tressan Gore is a work in progress. He's 3-1. Lost to Brian Battle, who That guy's just battle tested. Ooh, fucking nailed the joke. Nailed it. No, Brian Battles is an awkward guy to fight. He's never going to quit. He's never going to stop coming forward. Sean Gore, little inexperienced, really wasn't ready for that yet. But what I saw in The Ultimate Fighter is I saw a guy who's very explosive, very athletic, has power. And I think Cody's going to really hunt for takedowns here. I think that's going to be the problem. I think he's not going to try to set anything up. I think his stand-up's okay, but he's been caught before. He's been hit before. And I think Treshawn Gore is just going to hit different here. I think he's going to crack him early, and I think he's going to stop some takedowns and get a finish. I think it's going to be an early finish. Treshawn Gore, slimeball candidate number one. Send him home. Bet the knockout. You know, it's late in the week. I can probably dig in. My computer is just dragging. This video I'm recording, it better be working because I got a new program. Of course I did. And it better be working because the video right now is dragging ass. So if you're listening to this and it's not on YouTube, that's because it's video or it's audio only because, man, the video fucking bombed on me. Just dragging ass on me. Here we go. I'm not motorsports. I don't even know what to bet. Here we go. I'm doing this for you. Treshawn Gore by knockout. He's at minus 145 right now. Treshawn Gore by KO plus 250. That's a fucking gorgeous number. Hammer that number. I love that number. If I wasn't married, I'd marry that number. All right, next up, Antonia Shevchenko. Antonia, she's a female, Brian. Minus 180. Minus 180 versus Courtney Casey, who is a plus 155. Give me the dog. Dog shot, baby.
Hello? Okay, this is dog.
Okay, this is dog again. I'll never bet Antonia Shevchenko because I just don't know if she's good. I've seen her quit in there. I've seen her look good in round one. I don't know what, I mean, her sister's the best in the world. And Shevchenko, she's just a step behind almost every fight. I see people backing her last two fights. I think she maybe was a dog her last fight or even a favorite against Courtney Casey. And I just, Casey O'Neill, excuse me. She's fighting Courtney Casey now, but Courtney Casey's a girl who takedown offense is dreadful. So I'm worried about that. This is a fight that I'm probably not going to bet. I see this going to the decision. I see Courtney Casey just outlasting her, right? I think Shevchenko's going to have probably a good first round. And I think Casey's going to eventually, kind of outpoint her and win a decision. I see how this fight going. You're giving me a plus 155 number. I like that, even though I'm not going to play it because women's MMA is my crutch. It is my Achilles heel right now. Need to get better at it for sure. But yeah, I just think Courtney Casey, she's got a weird record. She's 10-9 and she's getting no respect here because her takedown offense has been lackluster to say the least. Give me Casey at plus 155. I like it. There's nothing, these are kind of middling women. I don't think either of these female are going to fight for titles. They're at 125. They're talented fighters. I just don't see them ever fighting for titles. And yeah, give me Courtney Casey because you can't get a better number than that at plus 155. All right, next up, you got Almin Sahabi, Faraz Sahabi's younger brother, versus Ricky Turcios. Ricky won the Ultimate Fighter. Zahabi is plus 160, Turcios is minus 190. This was a tough one for me because Zahabi, he's got that karate style, he's got that, the tri-star style. I just necessarily don't know if he's that great. The fight that he got knocked out in the UFC, he was looking good. He got caught late. Ricky Turcios is a wild man, though. This dude is nuts. Good grappler, good cardio, good stand-up. Gets hit a little too much, which kind of scares me at this 190 price. But I think he's just going to be a little too much for Zahabi. I think Zahabi can't keep up with the pace. I don't think he can keep up with the grappling, the wrestling, the exchanges. That's just my opinion. Zahabi doesn't fight all that often. His cardio might be lights out. I don't know. He just doesn't fight enough. So Turcios is, feel like we haven't seen him in a while since he doesn't fight. I don't know if he's battling injuries or what. But he's a wild man. He barely beat barely won the Ultimate Fighter against Brady Highstand. But give me Turcios, slimeball candidate number two. Again, the slimeball's thin. I tweeted it out. Having a hard time with the slimeball, and everyone gave me Jamie Malachi, which is the next fight, which I pick on Anakin Florian. Michael Johnson, plus 200 right now. Jamie Malachi, minus 240. Let's see if this, because this has been moving like crazy. It was 155 before. Michael Johnson plus 195, Jamie Malachi plus 230 on DraftKings Sportsbook as we speak. I'm an MJ guy. I picked Michael Johnson on the Anakin Florian podcast, and I'm sticking with it. Jamie Malachi hasn't really beaten anybody that's still in the UFC. Hasn't beaten anybody in the UFC. I know the Fahar Ziam, who I don't know if he's still in the UFC or not, was a very close fight and he lost. But, you know, he's going to try to grapple Johnson. He's not going to want to stand up. Michael Johnson, I think, is going to be too athletic, too fast. He's going to land shots. He's going to, you know, this guy hits different. He hits hard, fast. His timing's really good. He said he cleaned up all the shit in his personal life. He looked good his last time out against Alan Patrick, who was going for takedowns. And Michael took round one to kind of whatever and then finished him. After that, the round one was a little slow for Johnson, but I like Johnson here. I think Johnson, if as long as he is confident and believes in himself, you know, I like this fight. The thing about Johnson that scares me though, is he got knocked out cold by Josh Emmett a few years ago. And in the Alan Patrick fight, it looked like he got buzzed a few times. I don't know. You know, he's got 37 MMA fights. He's not the oldest guy in the world. That chin might be a question. Jamie Mullarkey is aggressive. He can come out and land some shots here. He's a long arm, tall Aussie. You know, he's a cracker. But I like Michael Johnson here at +200, 2-1. I can't play Jamie Mullarkey at that number. I just can't. Christian loves Jamie Mullarkey, so I'd be curious to see what Christian plays here. But I'm going to go another dog here, baby.
Hello? Okay, this is dog.
This is dog, baby. Another dog shot. All right, Cottonmouth. I'm so excited I got Cottonmouth. All right, next up, Cynthia Calvillo. She is a -150. Oh, they got these fights switched around. Oh, well, doesn't matter. All right, Cynthia Calvillo, -150 versus Nina Nunes, +130. Amanda Nunes is better half. Used to be Nina Ansaroff, very talented fighter in her own right. Cynthia Calvillo, who I used to think was the future of the division. I liked her at 125. And then the last few times out, I feel like she doesn't want to be there. I feel like mentally she's like, I'm checked out. This isn't for me anymore. And Nina Nunes is hungry for a fight. She's hungry for a win. You know, she had the baby, came back, had some close fights. She had a really close fight with Mackenzie Dern. Not a close fight. Competitive first round, got submitted. I'm misremembering that fight. She got submitted in the first round. But up until the armbar, I guess it was competitive. I don't know what I'm talking about. I guess I misremember that fight. Her time before that, before the armbar loss, that was her coming back after the baby. Tatiana Suarez with decision loss. Tatiana Suarez is an absolute fucking stud beast. Before that, Claudia Gadela was a good win on her record. Randa Marcos, good win. Angela Hill and Jocelyn Jones Lindberger, who I don't really know who that is. But the Angela Hill, Randa Marcos, and Claudia Gadela fights are fantastic wins. And you got Cynthia Calvillo again, who I just don't know if she's in it. And she's getting a plus number. She's lost three in a row here. Caitlin Chikagan decision. And then she got finished by Andrea Lee and Jessica Andrade. I picked her in the Andrea Lee fight. And Andrea Lee just broke her with her pace. And she just didn't want to be there. I think Nina Nunes is a high skill level fighter. She's not going to go anywhere. She's not going to quit. She's going to go in there. And I think, you know, taking some time off after obviously being a mother, it's going to be impossible to find time to fight. But especially with your wife being the fucking double champ, you know, she's a main event. She's fighting more than you. But now this is Nina's turn, you know, Nunes' turn here, and I think she's gonna show out. I'm taking the +130 again. Give me the dog number again. The dogs are barking for me on this one again. And you know, take this with a grain of salt. Your boy doesn't have the best track record picking female fights, but I really like Nina Nunes. It's a fight. I picked Courtney Casey as a dog before. That was a number play. This is a breakdown. I think Nina is going to play because I think Cynthia isn't in it anymore, even though I think Cynthia Calvillo is very talented. I just don't know if she wants to do this anymore. That's what I'm getting the feeling in her last two fights. Maybe she comes out like a bat out of hell. Maybe she's had some stuff going on in her life. She cleaned it up. I don't know. But a motivated Nina Nunes, I think, is a terrifying fighter because she's a little under the radar. She might get outshined by her wife, Amanda, but she's a very good fighter. So give me Nunes, +130, fucking book it. All right, the heavyweights. God, I don't like this fight. Jarrett Vanera, -180. Chase Sherman, +155. I don't like this fight. I don't know why it's on the main card. You can switch out any fight. Put David Onama on the main card. Ronnie Lawrence versus Kakhramonov should be on the main card. This is not the main card opener, but it's on pretty high up on the main card. They always do that with heavyweights. Do not know why. Both these guys are very low-level heavyweights. Jarrett Vanera, I think he's going to get the fight to the ground, and Chase is fucked. Chase off his back is not good. You know, he's a tough, durable guy, likes to stand up and bang. You know what I mean? Mississippi Mean, all that stuff. But you get him on, you know, you get him on the ground, it's a fish out of water. You know what I mean? You get him on the ground, it's like me on fucking roller skates. I mean, what am I going to do? You know what I mean? I can't do nothing. That's Chase Sherman. Janet Vandera, again, I don't think is the highest level guy. I think this is the UFC going, you know what? We got to cut one of these guys. The loser goes home. Give me Vander. Give me by TKO. What's that line here? So I think he's going to get on top. I think he's going to pound him out. He's got good ground and pound. Jarrett Vander by TKO, KO, plus 130. So you're getting a better number, obviously, but it's not as sexy as I would want it to be. But it is what it is. Give me Jarrett Vander. All right, now Saeed Nurmagomedov, not related to Khabib. I butchered his last name. Fuck off. Minus 255 versus Douglas Silva de Andrade. Plus 215. De Andrade, according to Twitter, again, I'm doing this a little late in the week here. According to my Twitter, he's the fucking underdog darling. A lot of my peers like this guy at this spot. I get it. I get it. I think he's a talented guy. I just think Saeed's just going to be a little bit too much for him. You know, he's got that long, awkward body. He can strike from distance. He's got good submissions. De Andrade is a bulldozer, though. I don't see a finish happening here. I got it going to the decision by Saeed. I think it can get interesting the later the fight goes, because even though De Andrade is bricked up and every indication he should slow down with all the muscle, he doesn't. And we haven't seen Saeed really be consistent and fight a lot, so it worries me with his cardio. I know he's proven he has cardio in the past, but it always worries me with these guys who don't fight enough, you don't see enough, and you just can't gauge their cardio all that well. So give me Saeed and give me by TK. Or no, whoa. I'm getting ahead of myself. Give me by decision, slimeball candidate number 3, Tercios, Gore, Saeed, slimeball candidate number 3. I'm only playing 3. I'm going to give you the 4. The 4th one's the next fight. Cal Borello. I butchered this guy's name on Anakin Florian podcast. I just butchered it again. Cal Borello versus Armin Petrosian. Cal Borello minus 215. Petrosian plus 185. Again, Borello fought in the Contender Series twice. Debut in the UFC. All wins. Cross-trained in Vegas. Don't know if he's in Vegas permanently. He's the fight nerd, right? Which always disturbs me. I've said this a million times. The guy's a jacked Brazilian with a throat tattoo. You throw on glasses. Doesn't make you a nerd, okay? It just doesn't. But you're a talented fighter, you know. I think he's going to get on top here, and I think he's going to do work. I like him. Slimeball candidate number 4. Petrosian, a very good kickboxer. Takedown defense looked pretty good against RoboCop his last time out, a fight where I believe he won, right? He beat RoboCop in a crazy decision. Yes. Yeah, I thought it was a very close. I had RoboCop in that fight, but it was very close. I get it. I think Kai's is more aggressive. His stand-up is coming a long way. He's aggressive, and I think he's going to be more of a bulldozer than RoboCop was, believe it or not. I think RoboCop was a little... He gassed out in that fight a little bit, and I think he was a little reserved once he got touched by Petrosian. Petrosian's got great kicks, great hands. Borello, though, I think is better on the ground than RoboCop. I think he's better on top. I think he looks for submissions, and this could be interesting at 185 here. These are the kind of the next coming guys. People are going to question why it's a co-main event. I get it. Both guys coming off Contender Series. They both got one win in the UFC, but it really doesn't matter who you put in the co-main event because the main event's so fucking fire. This main event is at 155 is so good that it doesn't matter. But I like Borello here at 2-1. I like the number. I like him by finish as well. Probably TKO finish. I got DraftKings right in my face. Let's look up what that is for you boys. Armin Petrosian by KO is plus 350. That's nice. Yeah, Kai Borello win by KO, plus 300. Vegas thinks he's going to win by decision. That's plus 225. And then submissions plus 250. I could see a submission as well because I'm sure he's well-rounded, but... maybe I like a submission too. Something on the ground. Maybe I'll have to think about that one. Both are fairly even. All right, next up, RDA plus 170 versus Rafael Fiziev. I believe is how you say his name after I butchered it. Minus 200. What a fucking fight. I gotta take a drink. If you don't like the ice rattling, you don't like looking at me on camera drinking, I apologize. I gotta wet my whistle for this fucking main event. All right, let's get into it. You got the old dog who's fought everyone versus the new guy, the new shiny everyone likes. That's how you break this fight down. RDA's fought everyone. He is a stud. I like him back at 55. He made a move back to Brazil. I forget what camp. I know the camp. He's obviously Brazil has a million good camps. I want to say he's with Petneris down there, but I don't want to misclaim that. Either way, RDA is a real dude, real good size for 55. Fiziev is a guy who got knocked out. I think it was his UFC debut. He got slapped by a spinning back fist. Was that the second fight or was his debut? Got slapped and he's beat Alex White by decision, Mark DeCasey by decision, Hanata Mokano by knockout, beautiful knockout. Bobby Green by decision, very close fight, and then Brad Riddell wheel kick, which was another sick finish. Brad Riddell fight was close. Bobby Green fight was very close. A lot of people argued Bobby Green won that fight. He slowed down in that fight. Now we're getting five rounds, you're getting RDA. RDA can strike, he can wrestle, and that's where he's going to have to shine. I've heard rumors that Fiziev is very good, hard to take down, good judo, good sambo, tough to hold down, right? But RDA can go five rounds. Can Fiziev go five rounds? We haven't seen it. We see him slow down on Bobby Green when Bobby Green kept the pace on him. RDA likes to keep a pretty high pace in there. And I see a lot of grappling exchanges. I see a lot of stand-up exchanges as well. RDA's chin's pretty durable. He has been caught before. He's been knocked out before, but it's been there. Fiziev's got some of the flashy stuff. You know what I mean? He's got the wheel kick knockout of Brad Riddell, which is super important, super high level. He's been Muay Thai kickboxing since he was fucking 12. The guy's high level. He's as high level as it gets with his striking. Power, I think it's there, but it's not like one touch. It's a combination of things. It's going to be a load-up shot like he hit Morcano with, who's had some chin issues. It's going to be a wheel kick, but he's looked like, you know, he's got some great striking, but his power isn't necessarily off the charts. I think RDA is going to be able to handle his power, which is number one. Number two, how is Fiziev going to handle the takedowns? I think RDA does have good grappling. He loses because he gets out-grappled most of the time, right? That's how RDA loses. I mean, you can out-strike him and stuff, but he just gets overwhelmed. I think he's going to be the bigger man here. I think he's going to overwhelm Fiziev. I think Fiziev is going to have to come in shape, and he's going to have to show out to prove, hey, he's ranked 10, RDA is ranked 8. RDA hasn't fought in lightweight in a little bit. I know his last fight was Mokano, but before that, he was at 170 for a while, former lightweight champion. No, he's getting a little older here. How old is Dos Anjos? I got him at 37 in my hand. How old is he? 37. Okay, birthday in October. Good to be 38. Yeah, so I like him here. I like him here. I like RDA, baby. Dog shot money. Dog shock city. Give me the dog in RDA. Give me the vet. I know the younger, you know, there's stat guys out there that say younger fighters win this many a times. I just think this is an old dog fight here. I think RDA is going to make it nasty. And then I tell you what, if Fiziev wins, because I do like Fiziev, he needs to prove a lot to me still. He's not super high on my radar right now at 155, and maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I'm the one that's off. That can very well be. But he needs to prove something. This is a fight to prove it. This is a really good fight for him. Because there is a shark tank at 155, and you're going to have to be able to fucking swim. And this is a fight to, you know, teach you how to swim here. Okay, that's it. That's the show. Tight 32 on this late Thursday night. I'm glad I got it out for you guys. Follow me on Twitter, Brian Petrie MMA on Twitter, MMA Takes Podcast on Instagram, and MMA Takes Podcast on YouTube. Wednesday show next week, July 20th, the premiere Wednesday Takes. You do not want to miss it, and you do not want to not be subscribed. So let's subscribe. Let's do it. Three shows a week now. MMA Takes Podcast in your face. Kind of four, because I do the Anik on Florian on Sunday. So you're going to hear me four times a week. If you're a fan of me, that great. If you're an enemy of me, that sucks. I'm sorry. But let's have fun together. Let's do it. Boop, boop, boop. Have a good weekend.
Perfect week for Brian Petrie yet again. Motherfuckers. Let's make some picks with our man Brian Petrie.